You are excused and your case is submitted. And the next case this afternoon is S&R American Farms versus Russell. And while we're changing the guard, if there are some seats available, I feel bad for you all standing back there, so please feel free to come forward and sit down.
Please the court, my name is Pat Nelson. I'm here representing the appellant of Russell Farm and Ranch Corporation. There are two issues that I would like to address this afternoon, one in connection with the summary judgment proceedings and the other in connection with the discovery matter. This is a land dispute involving the boundary between riparian lands on two sides of a river. Pretty straightforward. The parties engaged in extensive discovery in connection with expert witnesses, beginning with the interrogatories, but then the parties agreed that they would each depose the other as expert witnesses. And there were two experts for each side, a land surveyor and a geographer. In connection with the deposition of the plaintiffs, that is S&R's surveyor, we requested and the other side agreed to provide the surveyor's entire file. About 2 weeks prior to the deposition, the plaintiff's counsel indicated that we will provide a copy of Mr. Humphrey's file. About 3 days before the deposition, plaintiff's counsel sent a letter to defense counsel and myself saying, in closing documents, here is the file, Mr. Humphrey's file. At the time of the deposition, 3 or 4 days later, there were no items or very few items of correspondence. They simply refused to provide the correspondence. In response to that, the deposition was taken, and in response, we submitted various discovery requests, interrogatories, requests for production, non-party subpoenas, seeking to obtain copies of that correspondence trail. The S&R attorney filed an objection to those. The court and the parties then proceeded to engage in Greenwalt, which is Greenwalt versus Walmart, a process that is envisioned by that case, the Supreme Court case. S&R filed a motion for protective order. We filed a motion in response or a response to that, and the court then held a hearing. At the time of the hearing, evidence was offered. The court did not require S&R to submit copies of its documents that it was withholding, and that was it. The trial court simply overruled our motion, and the case proceeded then to the next step of summary judgment.
Does Greenwald apply to expert discovery?
Yes, it does. Well, I say that only because there's nothing in Greenwald that says that it does not.
But Greenwald didn't involve expert discovery.
I'm not sure that it did or did not.
It involved internal documents held by Walmart, I believe.
And that may well be true, Your Honor. That might well be true.
But so when I look at, are you familiar with the Pedrazzo case?
Yes.
Which dealt specifically with expert.
Yes, but did not deal at all with any Greenwald issues. It just dealt with expert witness issues that were not involved with the kind of factual pattern that we have when the parties agreed to depose expert witnesses, that they would be permitted to depose the other side's expert. And in this case, when S&R agreed to provide its entire file, the surveyor's entire file, and then reneged on that agreement.
So that's not even really an issue under Greenwald.
What's that?
That's not even really an issue under Greenwald either, then.
Whether there was a reneging of an agreement?
Right.
Yes, no, I don't think that there was an issue with Greenwald.
And Pedrosa did involve the communications between the expert and the attorney. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes, it
is. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yes, mm-hmm. That's exactly what we're talking
about. And so how is that not privileged?
Well, it might be. I don't know. There are two issues that come up in that kind of a discussion. One is a privilege between an attorney and client, and the other is the work product exception under the discovery rule. It's clearly not attorney-client privilege, so we're not really talking about a privilege here. We're talking about work product doctrine, and that's all we're talking about. Yes, it does come up under that, and I say it does, it might. I don't know whether it does in this case for all of each and one of the 47 documents, because we don't have a clue what's in there, nor does this court have a clue what's in there, because the trial court did not require SNR under Greenwald to submit those documents.
To the court.
But the court in Pedraza didn't require that either.
And I don't know what the issue or why that didn't come up like that. One of the things that I've learned, and I'm sure you have too probably, is a particular case has its own issues, and sometimes issues that could have been brought up are not. And in the next case, those issues that could have been were not in the first case are brought up. It's a simple concept, and I think that's the answer to the question here. The Greenwald does not stand for the proposition that only matters other than attorney-client privilege involving experts, which is really nonsensical, I think, or work product exception involving experts is not applicable. It doesn't say that. And I think it would be a tough extrapolation to jump to that conclusion, quite frankly.
But if you look at the discovery rule, does not that principle of law that specific governs over general apply, and we have specific discovery rules that apply to experts?
It could, but the discovery rules also provide that the parties may, if they choose, stipulate to go beyond the discovery rule, something different. The pure expert witness discovery under the discovery rules is simply interrogatories and answers to interrogatories, and that's it. But if the parties choose to, they can participate in other types of discovery, oftentimes the deposing of expert witnesses, and in conjunction with that, obtaining the expert's file. And that's what was done here. And only after the deposition was commenced did SNR renege on its agreement pursuant to the correspondence to provide that documentation. So this goes far beyond the standard discovery rule, expert witness discovery. And in SNR's brief in this case, it doesn't even address Greenwald. It's as if it didn't exist. But in the trial court proceedings, up until the order entered by the trial judge, all of the Greenwald matters were being dealt with.
So is it my understanding if the court had, in this case, ordered that the documents be produced to it,
yes,
so that it could make the determination whether it was work product, and if the court determined it was work product, you wouldn't have an argument?
Well, I'd have an argument, but I would be able to present it to this court, and this court would be able to make its own decision, and which under Greenwald is the standard of review. It's brand new in this court, but until and unless you have access to the documents, you can't do your job on the appellate level because the trial court didn't preserve the record. This is not a record that we as the appellant didn't make. The trial court didn't do its job. And because the trial court didn't do its job, you're hamstrung. This court is hamstrung because it doesn't have the information. I'm going to save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel, my name is Aaron Bach, and I'm the attorney representing the appellee in this proceeding, SNR American Farms. Mr. Nelson has taken the approach in this matter that discovery proceedings are the most critical issue in this matter, and that they are the controlling factor. That's not the case in this matter. It's a matter of riparian land where the threat of the stream has moved. Mr. Nelson has, before this court, actually tried the case that is determinative in this proceeding, the Curry versus Ferdy case. The threat of the stream, the only difference between the properties, same river, Middle Loup River, The only difference is that the river here moved, the thread of the stream moved north over the course of time. An imperceptible period of time that dates back to 1873. Over the course of time, this river has changed. The water has shifted, the thread of the stream. Each land, the south land, which is owned by S&R American Farms, abuts the thread of the stream, that river, to the south. It's entitled to have that land. That's what this court has decided. That's what Mr. Nelson's case is indicative of. The proceedings as far as the discovery facts. Absent an abuse of discretion, the court has the right to determine the discovery issues. Those discovery issues don't change the facts. This land is located north of Broken Bow. You can drive up there, go up north of the high school. Several miles up there, up to the Platte River, or Middle Loop River. You can go up there, you can see it. I walked it. It's clear. The land to the north is divided by the stream. They cannot access it anymore. That stream runs to the north.
And it depends whether that changes.
Right, the thread of the stream changes from time to time. Currently, though, that thread of the stream, and that's what the judge decided, Judge Noakes decided.
But isn't it determinative as to whether it's an abulsive event or
creation related? It is. However, there's a presumption that the recorded survey is the presumptive fact that the thread of the stream is there. In fact, every witness, if you look at the evidence in this thing, the thread of the stream has been determined to be north of my client's property. Everyone. It's not only presumptive, everyone agrees. There's nothing to try. It's a matter of fact. It's the very determinative fact of this whole issue. The court below correctly determined that there's nothing to talk about. This is here for summary judges. It's perfect for summary judges. There's no issue. And if the thread of the stream, whatever the discovery issues are, the court was correct. It's not an abuse of discretion in its determination, and it makes no difference. The fact of the matter is the thread of the stream controls. There's not an issue to talk about. So what I believe this court needs to do is simply affirm the decision of the court below. Judge Noakes correctly decided where the thread of the stream was. That's the controlling boundary. Therefore, the property should be reaffirmed that, in fact, it is the property that's located south of the stream that belongs, the thread of the stream that belongs to S&R American Farms. With that, we would ask the court to reaffirm that.
Mr. Bach?
Yes.
What is it about Mr. Humphrey's survey that determines the case in favor of your client?
It's a recorded survey filed with the state surveyor's office of record, public
record.
Right,
but what specific facts are contained within that survey?
It directly says the thread of the stream. That is the determinative fact if you read the fact of Prairie Beaver.
Okay, so.
And in addition, everyone testifies that's where the thread of the stream was.
My understanding of case law, though, is if the thread of the stream changes by a bowl, then the boundary doesn't change with it.
That is correct.
Okay. So if you had a survey, it would still show the thread of the stream, but it wouldn't be the boundary if there was evidence at trial that it was an impulsive event.
There was absolutely no
right. Evidence. I understand there was no evidence. My question is as to the survey. If we're going to look at the survey and say whatever the survey says is the facts of this case, and it's an impulsive event, won't the survey still look the same?
The survey would look the same. However, what this court has previously announced in Curry v. Furby is the survey is presumptive. It controls. It is the issue that comes before the court. And in fact, it also says that in order for there to be any rebuttal of that survey, the burden then becomes upon the appellants, in this case, to bring forth evidence of involvement. There's not even an allegation of involvement in the answer that's filed in the transcript in this proceeding.
Well, to go full circle, I suppose it could be argued that perhaps these undisclosed documents in discovery contain some information that would lead to that conclusion, or at least weaken the survey or the surveyor's conclusions.
The fact of the matter is there is no evidence whatsoever from the experts of the appellant that there was any avulsion. There's nothing of record. There's nothing that can be determined of record. Everyone says since 1938, all the evidence that's presented in the exhibits that were offered clearly reflects a changing progression, slow progression of the river. From the period of 1873 to 1938, there's nothing. For 65 years, we don't know. Absolutely not. Same case in Curry v. Furby, except their difference was between 1873 and 1937. 1 year difference, but it's the same process.
Did you renege on producing documents you previously said you would produce?
We did not renege on producing documents. The documents that are being sought are documents that were provided as far as correspondence between counsel and the expert witness. That's a different thing. What was produced as far as Mr. Humphrey, he produced his entire file to our recollection. Then during the course of the deposition, it appears that there were some things that he had left on a computer CAD or something that was not part of the file that was produced. So that was then also produced.
And how do you respond to Mr. Nelson's argument about the application of Greenwald to these circumstances?
That is not the correct case. It is the Pedroza case. This is confidential. This is work product, attorney, expert communications.
How do we know that on appeal?
The court concluded that there was a summary that was presented. That's not part of the record, but there was a summary produced to the court. Absent an evidence of an abuse of discretion on the part of the trial court, it must be affirmed for evidentiary for the purposes of discovery. We would ask that the court, at this point in time, simply affirm the judgment below. It was correct. There is no disputed material fact. It is the correct judgment. And we ask that it be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you.
How much time does Mr. Nelson have remaining?
1:55.
Can I pick up with a question on a remark that was just made, that there was a summary of the correspondence?
Yes.
That was produced to the lower court?
There was not. What there was, and it's in the transcript, it's at number 35, which is the motion for protective order. There's an affidavit of Timothy G. Herluza, a member of Mr. Bach's firm, in support of the motion for protective order that contains nothing but conclusory statements about the documents. Attached to that is a privileged log that contains a description of each of the 47 documents withheld. There's no summary other than, for example, email request for legal description related to case. That's all it says. And then it says that's work product and attorney-client privilege, which is the same label that's attached to every single one of the 47 documents withheld.
So, Mr. Nelson, are these documents, is what you were searching for the correspondence between counsel and their expert?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And just so you know, Your Honor, the reason for this is that there was an initial survey prepared by Mr. Humphrey, and when the SNR people got our survey and our expert witness interrogatory information, then Mr. Humphrey decided he had to go back out and do some more surveying work. And he prepared another survey that actually is the one that the trial court relied upon.
Are both surveys in evidence?
Yes, they are.
Does the thread of the string change?
No.
Isn't that the deciding factor in this case?
Yes, it is. Ultimately, it is. But the thread of the string, there are different types, and I hate to be too confusing here, but there is out in the real world thread of the string where the last trickle of the water flows. And then there is the boundary thread of the stream, because, as you indicated, Your Honor, in an avulsive event, that thread changes. I mean, the actual thread changes for sure, but the boundary thread does not. And that's the issue in this case, is where's the boundary thread, and whether it's where Mr. Humphreys, and everybody agrees, I would concede that the actual thread is where it is on the Humphrey survey, the Snow survey, both geographers. But it's the boundary thread that we're dealing with here. And this is the battle of the experts.
Thank you. I believe you're out of time.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. You both are excused and your case is submitted.